Hey there. In this podcast, I want to talk to you about doing little simple things in everyday life with mindfulness. Obviously, we talk about being mindful in our swimming. So we come to the pool with an intention and we bring our mind into our body as our body comes into the water and we're paying attention to what's happening in the body and how the body is interacting with the water. And you start to see the benefit of how not only is time going by faster, you just find that you enjoy practice so much more when you have that intention and you have that attention in how you practice. Now, mindfulness is not just something we use athletically to help us perform better or enjoy our time in the pool better. It's something that actually changes the way we live. So it's not something that is meant only for a certain context, but it's meant as something that applies to your entire life, to alter the way that you see the world and you interact with it. Now, when I was living in Turkey for 8 years, it was very satisfying to live there, but it was not easy to live there. Or I could reverse that statement and say, it was not easy to live there, but it was very satisfying. And it wasn't easy because a lot of things took more time to accomplish. You know, in America, I was used to having a lot of conveniences and it was my home culture and I could get a lot of things done, could move quickly and arrange things more efficiently. But then moving to a foreign country and having to learn another language and try to operate through that language when I wasn't very good at it and trying to navigate through the way that business and bureaucracy and, you know, people do things. It just took a lot more energy and it took a lot more time to do fewer things. But even though life was more difficult in some ways, it felt like it was going at a better pace. So when I reflect back on it, I think, well, what was changing? What was different about the culture? Well, people aren't quite as ambitious to try to do as many things there. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But what I observe for myself is that, you know, like cooking food, for instance, I would go to the bazaar once a week and I would buy our groceries. I would talk to each vendor and I'd say, I want this or that. And of course they would ask me questions like, hey, how are you doing today? And where are you from? And da 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 da. So I with, you know, going shopping for the fresh fruits and vegetables each week, you know, it was a little bit of a social affair and I had to interact with people. And of course that helped me with my language, but it also helped me slow down a little bit. So I went and you go to the big open bazaar and I could go choose to buy my oranges at, you know, 10 different places. So as I walked through, I would look around at the food, I would assess, you know, I would see, all right, these oranges look better than those oranges, or they have the properties that I'm looking for. And oh, by the way, I noticed they have carrots at that one vendor. And I would go through and so I would just interact more with more thoughtfulness about the things that I was buying and who I was going to buy it from. So just the environment itself slowed me down and had me be more considerate of what I was doing. And then we would come home, and then if it'd be time to make a meal, a lot of our meals took more manual preparation. So we were washing and cutting up vegetables, and I would soak beans, and, you know, there was just lots of things that we would do to prepare our food that took more time than it would have if we were to do that in America. So we would just learn how to interact with our food differently. Food was simpler. It was more whole and raw. We cooked things by hand instead of buying them pre-cooked at grocery stores. You know, we soaking beans and vegetables and preparing them in our own way instead of buying pre-made sauces. And, you know, we would eat out occasionally, but still it made more sense to eat home or to be at a friend's home where they had prepared the food. And now we understood what was involved with making that food, how many hours and what kind of labor was involved. So our appreciation for the food itself and appreciation for the labor that went into it when we were eating with someone else was so much higher. So that changes also the way we interact with the people we're with, and showing gratitude, and also just appreciating how simple foods done in a traditional way tasted really good. As a matter of fact, once moving back to America, my whole family missed Turkish food. You know, we're just not as happy with our American style food, even though we try to cook in a way that is similar to how we did back in Turkey. So there's things like that. And, you know, I had to repair lots of equipment because the quality of things just wasn't as high. And so I was constantly, you know, fixing a heater or some gadget, or pulling out my tools and fixing something in the plumbing or around the house or on the car. Or I would go down to the mechanics in town, into the Sinai, where they have all the auto mechanics are situated. And I would take the car up and I would get out and I would try to explain with my limited language what the problem was, and the mechanic would look at it, and then we would talk, and then he would offer tea, and then we would sit, and then he'd go back to work. And, you know, just everything had you slow down and gave you an opportunity to pay attention to actually what was happening. So I would sit there and I would watch them work on the car, and I would see what kind of effort was involved in making the repair, and how they worked together to solve the problem, and where they would go to buy the parts nearby. And I'd get a sense of how long it took and how difficult it was to get into that place and get out of it again and put everything back together. Again, it just gave me an appreciation for what was really involved, the cost of living. I was so much more in tune with. So moving back to the United States, back to our home culture, our home state in Oregon, and even though I'm from there, and that's my original home, I was definitely altered by living in a foreign country for so many years, and at a very different pace of life. And so I found it very, a bit challenging, even stressful, to come back to America and try to slip back into the lifestyle, because it's not me anymore. I don't want to go all the time. I find myself having to really push back against the culture and deliberately choose to do fewer things so that I can do them better and do them more carefully, more thoughtfully. So simple things like I make breakfast for my boys in the morning before they go to school. I prepare my own food for the morning. I clean the dishes carefully. I put things away. I organize. These little rituals that I do, like for food, are helping me slow down and anchor and be appreciative of what it takes and the food that I'm preparing and what's in it. And it's really difficult in America to resist the things that are causing us to want to go more and more and more. Now, of course, I feel the pressure because I have to make, my wife and I need to make a lot more money in order to take care of all of our main needs in America. We have more earning power, but it takes a lot more effort. It's actually more difficult on us financially to be in America than it was in Turkey. And then the demands as well, you know, the social demands, the things that the kids could be involved with, the things that, you know, family and friends and all the entertainment opportunities that, you know, hey, come do this, come do that, come to this party, go to that thing, this concert. And after a while, you just find that if you're going, you don't really have, you lose touch with the costs involved in all of the activity. And when you lose touch with the costs that are involved, you lose touch with the budget of your time and your energy for your own life, your own health. And so now it makes more sense to me how people end up, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later, and they're stressed out and their bodies are suffering and they don't feel at peace in their mind, and they struggle with, you know, a sense of frustration or dissatisfaction or meaninglessness to it all. And because we've lost touch with the real cost of things, and we've lost appreciation for the simple things, thinking that those simple things like doing laundry and preparing food and cleaning and repairing tools and equipment for life, we feel like those things are boring and unessential and we should outsource those to other people. But what we have lost is that it's those activities done well, done by each person, is what anchors us to the world around us, that anchors us to the cost of living. When we're in tune with the cost of living and we are more considerate of that, our life actually flows at a pace that's healthier, that's easier on the mind and easier on the body as well. So I am deliberately trying to resist those things that pull me away from being in touch and doing the manual activities. I do my own laundry. My wife does for herself and the kids, and I do mine. And so I'm washing and I'm folding. I'm aware of how many days it takes for me to go through some of my clothes when I need it again. I do the grocery shopping. I prepare the food, at least for breakfast and lunch, for myself and some of my children. I'm doing our finances. I'm taking care of our house that we rent, and doing some of the yard work and repairing things that I can. So taking care of our vehicles to make sure they're still functioning well, to take us where we need to go. And, really, when I focus on these things, the truth is it takes up most of my time. I got 4 children and a house and a business to run. And it takes up most of the time. So I can't do everything. I can't do those other things that many other people are doing and still do these tasks that keep me in touch with the cost of living. So I've chosen to do less and do it better, to stay closer in touch with these activities that help me feel the cost of living and help me appreciate what's really involved in keeping a family maintained and what's really involved in the food that I eat and the cars that I drive and the community that I live in. Please don't get the wrong impression. I'm not necessarily great at this or an expert by any means, but I sense the value of what it is and I keep practicing it. So anyways, we talk about mindfulness in the pool and in running and these athletic activities and how that mindfulness keeps you in touch with the small, the subtle signals coming from the body and from your environment. And as you read those signals, you are in better position to respond to them in a way that keeps you injury-free and keeps you in tune with your body, helps your body keep functioning well, and helps you keep interacting with the environment in the most peaceful and cooperative way. So that same mindfulness is what helps you stay in tune with your body in the normal and all the other activities of life, and helps you stay in tune with your environment and the network of people that are involved in helping you and your family be sustained, and the expenses involved with all of these, the energy use, the waste that's involved, the labor that's necessary to produce good things for health. Anyways, that's a little musing on mindfulness. I just wanted to encourage you to take that mindfulness into other areas of your life. Slow down a bit. Choose fewer things to work on and do them better. And of those things, have some of them be the more manual tasks that you could potentially give out to someone else, like laundry or cooking and cleaning, repairing things that you think are below you or not worth your time. But there is a value, there is a health value in having you do those activities so that you feel what's really involved in sustaining your life and your well-being. Anyways, that's some thoughts for you. And yeah, I'm not sure how that will strike you, but I've tried to communicate a bit of what I've been feeling and thinking. And I'll talk to you about something else the next time. Take care.